中文叫做巨灵 V. This is Gov.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Gov Zero Underground Podcast. Gov Zero is a community full of food, projects, and discussion. I'm today's host, Sam Robbins, and I'm here with Isabel and PM5 to discuss the concept of digital democracy.
中文叫做巨灵 V. This is Gov.
A brief statement before we get started. Every GovZero contributor has their own point of view about GovZero, and what you'll hear today is only one point of view. If you want to learn more, you're more than welcome to join in and become a contributor. Welcome back to GovZero Underground. I'm today's host, Sam Robbins, and I'm here with Isabel and PM5 to discuss digital democracy. Before we get started,Let's do some simple self-introductions. So let's start with you, Isabel.
Hi, I'm Isabel. I'm a contributor to the GovZero community since the first GovZero hackathon in 2012. And I became chair of GovZero JSON Task Force. GovZero JSON Task Force is the organizer of a bi-monthly GovZero hackathon. And I'm a lawyer.And helped the open source community in Taiwan to read and understand the open source software licenses since 2000.
Hi, I'm PM5. My real name is Ho Ming Wai, mixed up. I'm a mathematician and a computer programmer. I've been active in GovZero.tw since 2013. And recently, actually in 2018, I co-founded...GovZero International Task Force with Isabel and another GovZero contributor, Zhihao, which extends a friendly hand overseas to other civic hacking communities, but does not represent GovZero internationally.
And I'm Sam. I started contributing to GovZero in about 2020. I wrote my master's thesis on GovZero, and now I write articles about the community every now and again. And we're talking today about digital democracy.Which has re-emerged as a keyword many times since the 1990s. And over the last few years, it's once again come around and become a subject of discussion. And each time it emerges, it seems to have a slightly different meaning. Some have suggested that the term is now too vague to be useful, while others think that the term can be helped to promote discussions of the way that technology can be used to build democratic participation. In this episode,We discuss what the concept means and whether it is a useful way to frame what the GovZero community does and is doing. So, to start off with an easy question, Isabel and PM5, what do you think of when you hear the term digital democracy?
I don't really remember, but I think it's sometimes between 2019 to 2020, and I think it's someone...Some foreign journalist or someone who tried to interview us in Taiwan mentioned this word, the digital democracy. And I don't really know what it means. Yeah.
So what do you think of it? How do you define it now?
It's still a very difficult question for me because, you know, we don't actually use the term in...Mandarin when we communicate with the GovZero contributors. I think we are trying to foster our democracy, but we were not emphasizing digital about what we are doing because, we are using digital tools to do our projects, but,I don't really know the definition of the digital democracy. And also, I actually asked some friends who are political science scientists, political scientists, and I was told that there is no clear definition yet. Many things could be part of digital democracy.
So what about you, PM5?
When I first heard about it, I feel it's kind of reiterating the concept of e-democracy or e-government in maybe 90s or early 2000s, which has been around in Taiwanese context for a long time. And also because I had some backgrounds working in NGO circles, it also reminds me of the term digital transformation within organizations. If we see the government or the society as a big organization, then digital transformation within a democratic society could be termed as digital democracy. But overall, I think nowadays you probably cannot define digital democracy as doing democracy with digital tools, because nowadays who isn't using the digital tools? That's my general concept impression about the term.
Yeah, it is interesting in that sense that it emerged first in the 90s, you know, when governments first started to have websites and there first started to be ways to connect online. And even though that's, you know, now 25 years ago, we're still using this term or a similar term to look at what we want for the present. But, you know, as PM5 said, things are so different now. You know, all democracies are digital in some ways. So to me, at least, it's sometimes a little unclear what we mean. So building on that, I want to ask you both, do you use this term personally?
No, because I don't really understand the definition. And also to me, I think digital democracy must exist in digital society. But to me, Taiwan is still, the society as a whole is still under the very, very early stage of digital transformation. Yeah, many parts of many aspects of the society is not digital transformed yet. So I can hardly say that we have achieved the digital democracy.
What about you, PM5? Do you use this term?
Frankly, I think the term digital democracy is a umbrella term that is useful for at certain level of discussion. So I would use it to identify people who would like to convey a discussion at that level when they need to use the term to refer to a variety of kinds of civic hacking or civic technology or democratic activist projects in various places in the world. But in my personal work and activities, I tend to work on maybe a more local context, and I would use other terms to convey my intentions and my expectations more precisely and effectively.
I want to add something that I actually use digital democracy, this term, more often recently, because it is just used so often. So we are talking about maybe we should start a political party named the Digital Democracy Party, as the take the digital democracy as the goal for the party to achieve this goal. Yeah,
so it's the DDP, not the DPP.
DDP. That's something we are trying to maybe we will actually do that.
And I think now is probably a good time to take a step back and explain a little bit more about why we wanted to record this podcast, mm-hmm. because we're talking about a concept that the three of us don't actually use that much and we don't have a clear definition of. So listeners might be asking why we're discussing it. The reason is because it's become much more common over these mm-hmm. last few years, and that there are always a lot of journalists or academics interested in the GovZero community. And personally, I think that's great. But more frequently now, they're using digital democracy as kind of a way to understand the community and a way to understand Taiwan. And because it's such a big umbrella term that can be used to refer to so many different things, it lacks a bit of clarity in terms of exactly what's the focus of the term, of exactly what is being discussed. So it can easily become that many different things become digital democracy, or that everyone's talking about the same word, but about different phenomena.
Yes. And also, when the people asking us about, in the community about the digital democracy in Taiwan, sometimes I feel kind of embarrassed, you know, because it's not just not the reality I recognize. I live in, and also I think there are some overstatement about things happening in Taiwan, like those collaborations between the Taiwanese government and the GovZero community. I would say most of the projects or during the pandemic, like the Max Map and the contact tracing apps, those are very good collaborations. But it's still special cases to me. There is no common practice between the civil society and the Taiwanese government to collaborate a project together under of this kind. Yeah, it's not a common practice yet.
Yeah, so Isabel was just telling us a little bit about what you think about collaboration and what digital democracy actually looks like compared to how it's discussed. So I'm curious, PM5, what you think about this?
I think it's interesting that Isabel brought up collaboration, because I started to work with something that vaguely resembles digital democracy when I first had a project in GovZero when we were experimenting liquid democracy and liquid feedback systems. And those voting systems assume that every voters, when they have access to such a digital platform, they could directly express their intentions in every vote. And they did that. Those platform doesn't assume that those voters need to collaborate or discuss or form a consensus in any way. So that was the what maybe digital democracy was imagined at the time. But nowadays, when talking about digital democracy, participants or contributors like Isabel would instantly brought up collaboration, because that's the core of our democratic practice in Taiwanese society nowadays. And digital tools are just a means to that end.
Yeah, and just for those who don't know, the concept of liquid democracy is the idea of building systems where anyone can directly vote on an issue or give their vote to someone else to represent them. It's interesting that even amongst the three of us, you can see a single term being used in different contexts. Mm-hmm. That perhaps in the past we imagined, or some were thinking of these kind of liquid democracy systems, but mm-hmm. in more current discussion about digital democracy, at least in Taiwan, we're talking mm-hmm. about the government and working with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that brings us on to the next point, that a lot of the reason there's this discussion at the moment is because there's some kind of consensus or idea emerging for some people that Taiwan seems to be a success story of digital democracy, or represents something positive about digital democracy. So I wanted to ask both of you, with your understanding of what digital democracy means, how does it look like in Taiwan at the moment?
We're still voting with paper and pen. That's not very digital, but I like the system. I like paper-based voting system a lot.
Yeah, I think I would say we have some POC, just that's a proof of concept here of digital democracy in Taiwan, in the GovZero community. Like the collaboration between the government and the community, and also those visualization of public money or government budget. And also there are many different kinds of projects. But compared to the whole society, these are just very small a group of people to trying to do things. And if you want to amplify this impact, I would say the government needs to do more to adopt this POC into their daily practice.
I want to broaden it out a little bit, building on what PM5 said about voting. And it's interesting, actually, in Taiwan, because you have to vote in person. There's no absentee voting.
No.
In the UK, I can actually give my vote to my mom, and she votes on my behalf. But anyway,
you can do that.
Yeah, she votes. My brother lives in the US.
What?
Yeah, so my mom has three votes. Yeah.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, but that would never happen in Taiwan.
No. the people would think that they will be cheated.
Yeah. But I trust my mom. But anyway, going back to digital democracy, to call Taiwan a digital democracy implies, first of all, that Taiwan is digital. So this is a very big question, but how digital is Taiwan as a society?
I think we have very advanced technology business, like semiconductor. But some parts of the society is still very analog. Like you have to fill in many, many papers in a bank if you want to open an account for your company. And there are still many paperwork within the government application process. And when we talk about digital transformation, I think the key point is a change of mindset. And I would say, to me, the idea or the practice of collaboration is very important when we talk about digital transformation. But I think the Taiwanese society still has a very long way to acquire these collaborative tools.
So of course, you know, like any country, Taiwan is digital in some ways and analog in other ways, and mm-hmm. it's all a big mix.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, given that some people are using Taiwan as an example of digital democracy or saying that Taiwan is a success story, it's important to ask how Taiwan is doing in comparison to other countries. So when we're talking about digital democracy, do you think that Taiwan is doing better than other countries?
I haven't been abroad in the past 3 years, but I just came back from Japan, and I think I was very surprised about how Japanese people is taking the digital transformation so seriously. Yeah, they have this Visit Japan apps when you are entering Japan, and you don't have fill in any paper. You just show the QR code on your apps, and you can enter, land it, and go through the customer in like 5 or 10 minutes. And also, when I was taking the taxi, there are so many advertisements about the, I think all of the advertisement is about the digital transformation. They are trying to persuade people to use digital system tools in so many different ways, like accounting, like training, like within the companies to substitute human resources. I discussed this to my Japanese friends, and he is the assistant officer of the Japanese digital minister, and he told me that Japanese people will needed a very long time to reach a consensus But once they have this consensus, the whole country will go for that. And I think they have reached the consensus for digital transformation, I think during the pandemic, because maybe the situation is so bad. So they had the older generation, even the older generation has to try to adopt these new tools. So they are on the, I think they are doing very good in this. Now, I'm not that sure we have this momentum in Taiwan, because compared to Japan, the situation during the pandemic is not so bad, and we live a normal life most of the time during the past 3 years. And so, and I found out the government kind of satisfied with what we achieved in the past 3 years, but maybe this will become the obstacle for the society to overcome the barrier, and for the older generation to change their old way to do things. Yeah, so that's what, but I my observation.
I want to avoid nitpicking Taiwan's digital application in the civil society. But to me, a digital transformation is works by layer and layer. It's not all application of digital technology is treated equally, and not all of them have equal impact to a democratic society. So take, for example, in terms of citizen IDs, I think Estonian has preceded us for decades and are doing very well. And in terms of human rights or data privacy, data protection, and the law framework around that, I think European Union does that very well compared, and Taiwan is falling very, very far behind. And in terms of, government data portal and the effort to make a usable and machine readable and interoperable data format, and urge the public servants and the government to conform to that data format to facilitate data exchange. I think, for example, Singapore and the Netherlands are doing very well compared to, and we're very far behind too. And also in terms of public-private collaboration, I think Isabel just mentioned, Japan is doing far better than we do. And that's the difficulty for me to discuss digital democracy in Taiwan, because Taiwan does have some highlights, but on these much more fundamental ground building infrastructure, the digital infrastructure, I think Taiwan is very far behind compared to other friendly countries or countries that are also pushing in this front. I think Taiwan tries to have more shortened showcase and example projects. Maybe that's a strategy to build up some kind of momentum within Taiwanese society, but so far I don't see that momentum transfer to infrastructure building and more long-term plans and strategies.
Yeah, and that kind of links to what Isabel was saying about proof of concepts, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we often see kind of a tool that's really interesting or exciting on a small scale, and then mm-hmm. it gets a lot of attention, but
yes.
you mm-hmm. never get it kind of you never get the big version of the system.
Yeah, you know, the first project of GovZero is a visualization of the central government budget. And I checked the website of the government like 1 week ago. They actually adopt this, but they don't really to do this in a very good, in a better way. I think they are just a 交差了事.
Oh, so yeah. It was a little half-hearted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't kind of, they didn't put a lot of effort into it.
Yes, I expect the government agency could do this much better with the development of the technology. And also they have all the data.
Yeah. And I think, you know, considering we wanted to record this because of some reports on some media coverage, I think it's important to discuss this, that sometimes there's something that looks really interesting or impressive at first glance, but then, you know, when you look into it, it's kind of not as complete and not as kind of maybe impressive as it first seems. And I think that sometimes when we discuss digital democracy in Taiwan, that's kind of what happens, that it seems very impressive and very exciting on the outside, but the more that you look at it, it's not as complete. And there are a lot of ways, like PM5 said, that other countries are doing better than Taiwan. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, things could be better here. And that's it's okay to admit that.
Yes, yes, totally, yes. We have a lot of infrastructure to do.
Yeah, so building on that, I think that leads us nicely into the question about what some projects and some people in the GovZero community are doing to promote digital democracy, you know, in whatever this term might mean. So to start with, I want to ask you both, with this concept, how do you link what you personally do in GovZero to how you think about digital democracy?
Yes, I think we started a new project in 2020, which called School 01. It's about a project about education, and we are trying to introduce this POC in the GovZero community to the younger generation. And most important of all is the approaches and the tools and the way we collaborated, collaborate together within the community. So, I think it's part of this digital citizenship. Yeah, to me. So, yeah, I think that's my contribution to the democracy in Taiwan, because I think if the younger generation are more familiar with these tools and the concept, they will doing better with our democracy.
I think the projects I've been recently involved with in GovZeros are mostly archiving projects, whether it's archiving web pages or news outlets articles, or archiving data or some other things. I think archiving is important in this digital age, because digital information goes away rather quickly and unnoticed. And I think building a common archive or common sense of history is very important to discussions about subject matters in civil society, and also emphasizing the facts and the data in discussion is also very important. So I think not only archiving these data and information, and also make them accessible in properly formatted data sets, or easily accessible by the public, by the general public, are a very important fundamental work to collaborating in digital societies.
Yeah, and I think that's so interesting. And I think projects like archiving or education are not, you know, usually what we think of when we think of digital democracy.
Yeah, because there is no direct link to voting, right? Yeah. But I think the democracy needs to be practiced in daily life, not just during the way of voting. Yeah,
I think in the very early days of GovZero, there was a group of project collectively called Dong Democracy, and that was an extension to the voting system that we just mentioned, but more focused on mobilizing people online to discuss about the issues. And because discussing about public issues involves a lot of background knowledge, so that connects well with the open government and open data movement at the time, that we need machine readable and well formatted information about the fact that we're concerned about, so that we can pull those data into these digital platforms when we are having discussions. And that might connect to motivating people's actions or voting actions. So in a very indirect and far-fetched way, that kind of connect to the voting behavior, but obviously not that those projects didn't come to place in the end. But that was the distant connection that I saw at the time from those people working on those projects, that I feel these fundamental works are actually contributing a lot to a healthy democratic society.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned this concept of open government too, because to promote myself a little bit, I wrote an article called Let's Stop Calling Taiwan a Digital Democracy. In the News Lens. And in that article, I said that I think open government is usually a more useful concept than digital democracy, because like you said, Isabel, sometimes, you know, when we think digital democracy, we might just think voting, or it becomes too vague and it becomes everything. It's either too narrow or too big. But something like open government, which has a clear definition of, you know, building participation, building transparency, building ways for people to get involved with the government, and accountability, is more useful. And then it doesn't matter if it's digital or analog. You know, if you're building it in an analog way, that's still important and impressive.
Yes, yes.
If making it digital is helpful, then that's great, but it doesn't have to be.
Yes.
Since PM5 mentioned open government and we're talking about it, I think one more project to mention before we wrap up is VTaiwan, which was trying to promote... One project that's important to mention here is VTaiwan, and there's actually a podcast episode with the VTaiwan community, so definitely check that out. But briefly, as it connects to digital democracy, Isabel, could you tell us a little bit more about VTaiwan?
Yes. VTaiwan is a project proposed by the minister without portfolio at that time, Mrs. Tsai. And it's a mechanism for deliberation for innovative, I think, technology for regulation. And so they will include this multi-stakeholder discussion, and then live streaming the discussion, and also the officers will take the results of the discussion and back to the government, and based on the results of the discussion to draft the regulations. I would say it's a good system to include more people to join the discussion online, because you can just join the platform and write down your opinions under the issues listed. I was the civil society committee member of the Open Parliament in Taiwan, and when we are drafting the Open Parliament action plan in 2020, we use the VTaiwan platform to call for opinions, and many citizens responses on the platform. So we, based on the the feedback, to make changes on the draft. But the difficulty is if there is no government officer take responsibility to be the one who will take the results of deliberation back to the government, then the discussion kind of become useless. This just discussion between the citizens, and there will have no impact to the government policy. So the success of the platform is really based on the depends on the government's attitude.
And I think this is a good time to be talking about VTaiwan, because in the next hackathon, there's actually a project to try to give life to VTaiwan again, rebirth VTaiwan and get it back up. So we're coming up to the end of this discussion about digital democracy. So I want to ask you both what you think lies at the core of digital democracy. So, you know, if you had to summarize it or try to pick out the most important thing, what would it be? So I'll start with PM5.
This might sound cheesy, but I think the core is human. To me, during the pandemic days in Taiwan, the CDC chief would hold press conference every day in the afternoon and on the TV, directly answering people's questions in person. And that doesn't come out from any digital tools or platforms or algorithms. That comes through human beings. And those answers and messages, concerns about the public and what they care about, what they might be worried about, what they want to know. And to me, those thoughts that goes into those messages are the core of communications in digital age.
Oh, yes, but I want to add something about what Pomi just said. I think digital tools help them to do this, because without digital tools, they could not aggregate those information in such a short time. So I think the digital tools are behind the scene. And back to Sam's question, I think to me the core value of digital democracy is the embedded mechanism in the government to collaborate with civil society. It depends on transparency, open data, digital infrastructures, and many other things. But we have to build up many different foundations to make this happen.
Yeah, and for me, I think openness is really at the core, because what's different about digital democracy or digital technology is just that there's so much more information available now and so much more data being produced and everything spreads so much faster. So I think I would hope in the future when we discuss digital democracy, we can put this idea of openness, that we should prioritize getting out good information, the correct information, and making sure everyone has access to that information and can see what's happening in the government as kind of the core value of this term. But thank you to everyone who's been listening to this conversation of three people who don't really use the term digital democracy discussing what digital democracy means.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you use the term or you think it's a useful term, I'm sure that if you're in these tech circles, these civic tech circles, you're going to keep hearing it for a little bit longer. So I'm glad everyone listening can join in and help us reflect on what this term means and how we relate to it. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
If you want to learn more about GovZero, please go to govzero.tw or join Slack at join.govzero.tw and join the discussion about GovZero projects or the podcast. I'm Sam Robbins. See you next time on GovZero Underground.
You're listening to GovZero Underground.